Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been talking about it all day after a disappointing series against the O's over the weekend. Did you see Charlie Morton? How old is Charlie Morton, by the way? How old is Charlie Morton? He spent 4 years here, right? And then we let him go. Obviously, a decision by management to say, okay, Charlie, thank you. He started the season struggling, for those who are unfamiliar with what his season has been like. And as a matter of fact, went to the pen for a minute and then came back. And since May 10th, this guy's been money. 5-0 in 10 appearances, 7 starts, 5 scoreless innings against us, and then Drake comes up, gets a 2-run shot. That was it. That's all he gave up. And the crazy thing is, he's still a beloved guy in the clubhouse. You know, I mean, Strider, everybody loved Charlie Morton. And, you know, I'm not saying hindsight's 20/20, but this is what we talked about. When you decided to move on from Morton or Freed, my biggest issue was, where are you getting all these innings from? And then they were being filled. The innings have been filled. Like, you found a way to get that done. But then, ironically, the hitting is still not where it needs to be. So you score 2 on Friday, 6 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. And what was your phrase, Abe, about this team not scoring runs? What were you talking
boy,
about?
Boy, which one? The fact that that's the given. The one or the shutout or the two is the given. When they pop off for 6 or 7 in a win, that's the one that takes me aback. And I was joking, kind of, but like I was thinking back about the season. I really can't believe they haven't been no hit yet.
It sounds crazy.
It feels like they should have been no hit,
yeah.
Especially while Acuna was out.
Well, maybe a team missed their opportunity. Now Sunday, when Snit decides, it was an early start, by the way. Okay, early start, and then you went to extras on Saturday. So he sits Acuna, Ozuna, and Harris, and everybody's like, whoa. But guys, that's no reason again.
Not Murph giving the team a chance to win.
Yeah, people want to throw that out there. Murph hits that home run in the ninth inning.
Woohoo!
One out, and you go, okay, maybe we got a shot, and you didn't. And so they close the game out, and they win 2-1. And you go, wait a minute, we just lost a series and got swept again. And now you find yourself, you know, loses a 4 straight and 11 games under 500, heading to not Oakland, heading to Sacramento to take on the Athletics. That series starts tomorrow, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, well, we'll get back on track. We'll sweep the A's.
Even if you do, by the way,
doesn't
like
matter.
That doesn't, like you swept the Mets.
Correct.
And then you took the first two in the next series against the Mets. And guess what?
You're still
double digits below 500. So like, let's not pretend like one sweep, even of a good team, much less of whatever the Athletics are.
Yeah, you're still here. You guys can let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. I said this is over. And when I asked Mike a few weeks ago, you want a fire sale? And he was like, no, I'll give it to the weekend. And then we came out of the weekend, and leading into the 4th of July week, we're like, you want a fire sale? And he was like, nah, I'll give it a little bit more time. I'm done with false hope. This is me trying to make myself believe that this is more than what it is. And as I continue to say on social media, too many things to overcome. Now you're talking about a starting rotation that has been...
It's a two-man rotation. I mean, it's okay to say.
It's been injured, though. Now it's been severely injured enough that it's unrealistic to believe with what we have left that you're going to be able to make this run, even if we start scoring. And that's a pipe dream right now, to think, oh, you know what? We're going to start averaging eight a night. What makes you think that's going to happen? So... I just
cloning like, technology.
No, it's not happening. Too many things to overcome.
Yeah.
You done? You over it?
I've been over it for a month. My biggest issue is now you can't sell anyone. Well, I said this a month ago. The guy you would sell was Sale. He was the guy that was going to get you the most in return. Was Chris Sale.
Frontline starter.
He's hurt.
Yep.
No one's buying him.
Nope.
Ozuna's hurt. Probably not anyone buying him.
Well, you're not getting back in return. Your return on investment is not going to be what you want it to be.
Well, remember, he might be walking next year anyways. Any return. And I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. And you're selling for prospects. You're not trying to buy someone that can help you this year. Anyone you would bring in that's an upgrade has to have multiple years of team control. I would have been looking to sell. The problem is I just don't know who you could sell with any value. Because there's some guys you're obviously not selling. Acuna,
no.
Olsen, Riley.
No, you're not.
Murphy might be the most valuable piece you have. And that's a Kirk Cousins situation where a team just needs to be desperate at catcher heading into the trade deadline. And right now there's no one there.
Has he done enough, though, to make you feel like that would be worth – and I say this, again, there's so many major league front offices out there that there's always somebody who says, oh, we'd love to have him. But my point is, he hasn't had a stellar season that makes you feel
he's
like –
he's got a very good contract with multiple years of team control.
He does. He does. That's the most attractive thing. Yeah. His inconsistency is unattractive.
It'd have to be a team that's desperate at catcher heading into the playoffs. Like, again, it's the same thing as Kirk Cousins. It's not about how much value he necessarily has. It's about, is someone desperate?
Do you know we're 28-5 and we score 5 or more runs?
Cool. How many times have we scored? Well, I guess I could do the math there. But how many times have we not scored?
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but you're not doing that.
No, you're not.
And guess what? We all thought we would. It's not a crazy – I know, like, baseball numbers sound weird. It's not crazy to think that a team could average 4 runs a night, 5 runs a night. This team's not even close. Mm. And like you said, the problem is – and this is why all these numbers – this is why – and again, I'm a big fan of Double A. I like Alex Anthopoulos. But when you come in here and talk about the run differential – when you lose 1,000 one-run games and then you can win a game 8-1, how many times have we poured on games where you just win 10-1?
We haven't.
8-1. No. That is the problem. That's the run differential is you end up scoring 10 runs a game here or there.
Oh, you're not asking me how often we've done it. You're asking me not often. If we've done it.
But the games you do win, it's like here's a 7-1 win. Here's a 10-2 win. And so you're boosting all your run differential. It's not real.
So you're saying it's misleading.
Yeah, it's a mirage.
Okay.
And you're 11 games below 500. Again, there's just no reason to believe it's going to be different we're now in July or in August or September. And guess what? You don't have to worry about October, do you?
No, not with the way things are going. More on the Braves coming up. Again, off day today, but it's front and center because you and I and everyone in Braves country continues to believe that this team is going to make the jump. And when we say the jump, it's like a light is going to come on. We're past July 4th. It hasn't happened.
Here's the other thing. Let's just in some magical world say that Michael Harris starts to hit 330.
Okay.
And Ozzie turns around. Do you know what sort of run you have to go on still?
Yes. Like, it's not impossible. It's improbable.
You remember a couple Junes ago, they went like 19-4? You'd have to do that in both July
and August. And August.
Like, you got to get to 90 wins. Like, you'd have to go like 40-18 or something. I know that's probably not the right accurate number, but
somewhere around there.
So you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like, you'd have to get so hot that it's almost, I mean, even a team with the guys that are hitting 330 will lose a game here and there. By the way, that only spins around your offense. You've also now got the two-man rotation problem where you got Holmes and Strider, and that's it. We're starting Didier Fuentes again.
Yes, they are. What, you don't want to start Didier?
After his second start, I swore we wouldn't see him again.
No.
Not only are we seeing him again, you can't even afford to take him out. You kidding me?
No, here's the deal. He's 20. He's learning on the job.
All of that is fine.
Yes.
But that's also an admittance of where this team is and what they know this
Correct.
Team is and isn't going to do.
Correct.
Because if you're trying to chase down a wild card spot, if you're trying to chase down a division, you don't have time for learn on the job guys.
Yeah.
You need to find ways to win games.
I think.
Didier Fuentes pitched into the fourth inning yet?
No, they pulled him. Like, they pulled him in his last start. Yeah. Snit pulled him.
It's like, all right. You said earlier in the segment, the Braves might, they might knock out 8 runs against the Athletics tomorrow. Cool, man. Didier Fuentes might also give up 8 runs, and it might be a 10-10 ball game 5 innings in.
Well, that's been the fundamental issue. Look, we're last in almost every offensive category. When you start talking about this offense as a whole, not individual players, we know we have all-stars and guys that are going to rep this team, but that's been the problem. And it was the problem this weekend. Again, Charlie Morton came in here, 55-year-old Charlie Morton came in here and shut us down. And don't tell me, well, he knows the guys in this lineup. You didn't give me that crap. Charlie literally came in here and pitched a gym. And this dude's like 50. You know, and you're like, what in the world is going on? Because Charlie still knows how to pitch.
All right, fine, great. What did Jose Soriano do on Friday night?
No, that was Charlie on Friday. That was Saturday.
Whenever Soriano threw.
I think it was Saturday.
He might have been the series before.
Oh, okay.
He might have been the series before. Because I remember seeing his name. I'm like, I don't know. Sounds like an ace to me, or will look like one against Atlanta. And he did.
Yeah, he did.
It's just, there's just no belief. And again, the problem being a sports radio host having this discussion is in the NFL season, we have answers. We try and figure out what's going on, even
sometimes,
from afar.
Sometimes.
We might be wrong, but we say it.
I'm never
we
wrong.
Say it sternly, and we have no one has any real suggestion here.
Well, here's the thing. I'll give you an example. Last year, nobody had answers for Kirk Cousins' play.
Sit him.
No, that was my suggestion. No.
Sit him.
You had a suggestion. You didn't have answers as to why his play poorly fell off.
I knew he was hurt. Just because you don't listen to me doesn't make the difference.
No,
I said it then. I say it now.
We all speculated he was hurt.
That's what you want to do? The difference?
It's the truth. Nobody knew. You were just like, man, he looked so good 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Everybody was saying the same things. We always don't have the answers. And that is, to be honest with you, what makes us great. Because when you don't have the answers, sometimes it plays out in front of you. The Braves still have a chance.
The problem is it's going to have to play out next year.
What are you talking about, the Braves?
I don't want to see that.
Well, no. Some of this can play out before the end of the season. You're going to get some answers as to some of these guys that you're questioning right now before the end of the season, which will help you make a decision in the offseason. You're not going to get a full scope of all the things.
What answers do you think I'm getting on Harrison Ozzie?
Well, if he starts to hit.
Okay, and if he doesn't?
You got your answer.
Do we?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
So then what's next?
Then you have to make a decision.
Okay.
You have to make a decision. But you have answers. The rest of the way, if it's not about us going to the playoffs, and it doesn't look that
way. It's not.
Then it has to be about what are we doing to make sure that guys are on track and giving us what they need. And more importantly, for the future, how is this viewed? And you're going to get some of that. Like, it's not going to be a wasted August and September, even if we're not in the mix and we're 10 games out, which I don't know where we'll be. But you're going to find out some things that are going to help you determine where you want to go with this team. 404-726-0929. You guys can always phone us and hit us up. Follow us, guys. It's Dukes and Bell 929. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. He's out on vacation. Abe is in this week. And Abe, it's just Abe Gordon.
At Abe Gordon.
It's just easy. It's just Abe Gordon. All right. We're coming back. We will talk some dogs. Our buddy Connor Riley, we're trying to get him, and we're going to talk about this quarterback situation around the SEC. By the way, where do you have Georgia's quarterback? Is he top five in the SEC? I'm not talking about the country, because I don't even think he's top 10 right now in the SEC. And I'm talking about Gunnar Stockton.
It's such an unknown. He's definitely not top five for now, but it's such an unknown.
Okay, I'm going to give you seven quarterbacks that are probably better right now with what we know. And I think this is going to be the challenge for Gunnar Stockton. We'll talk about it when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell, Abe is in for Mike today. We got to talk to Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, mostly NFL data science. She breaks down sports in a different way, and we love her work. We're going to talk some more college football, so stay there. We'll get to that quarterback conversation about Georgia, Alabama, et cetera. Cynthia, thanks for joining us. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. I saw you were posting and talking about the Steelers, and I just want to start here just on the information. Are you buying that Aaron Rodgers, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, is going to go in there with the additional moves they've made and make a difference? I mean, what are the numbers telling you? That Aaron had a good year last year. Can he do that again with the Steelers? Can those numbers be better?
I think the numbers can be better. The problem is the division is pretty much a nightmare. Do you really want to go up against Lamar Jackson? Not so much. And if you look at you know, like, it's so strange saying this because I'm from Michigan originally, and to say that the NFC North is like one of, if not the most competitive divisions in the NFL is wild thing for me to believe. But the NFC North is one of the divisions that they play in their rotational schedule this year, along with the AFC East. So not only is it difficult in terms of the AFC, the NFC North being difficult, but you've got the AFC North, the NFC North, the AFC East. There's a lot of poetry there, too, with Aaron Rodgers having to square off against his old divisions. And I just think it's going to be a tough sledding for a team that has an old defensive front, a lot of mismatched pieces that I don't know how long that chemistry takes to come together, but it feels like it's a little bit of a risky business going on there.
And the Steelers, you know, they just gave their GM a new 3-year extension. You think he's looking at drafting a franchise quarterback and hiring a new head coach over the next couple seasons? Do you feel like Tomlin's towards the end here?
You know, obviously Mike T will go when Mike T's ready to go, because there's just it's not like, you know, no one's going to be forcing him out. I do think that it will ultimately be something where both of those things happen. Now, do they happen simultaneously? I don't know. But I do think that, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers I don't think he's going to play next year, even though he's like, it's a 1-year deal. Maybe I'll play. I don't know. He always tricks us with, you know, becoming the off-season story. I think that's his new favorite thing to do. But, you know, he kind of tricks us with that. But I think they are looking at this next draft and they're saying, you know, this is something where we now have a full year to think about how we want to do this. There's someone in there maybe that they have their eye on, and maybe they could either get the draft capital for it or, you know, or figure something out. And I don't think they'd be going with a free agent, but figure something out with the draft and maneuvering in the draft.
Cynthia Freeland joining us, guys, NFL Network. You said it. It's never too early for fantasy conversation. And guys are gearing up for it. So let me ask you, where's our dude? Where's my guy, Bijan Robinson, when you talk about fantasy running backs? Where do you have him ranked this year?
I have him at number 2. Now, I will tell you, are you a Christian McCaffrey believer or not will be your question if he's 1 or 2. A lot of people think Saquon's right up in that mix as well, and I can't deny that either, Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think Bijan Robinson, for me, if I'm looking for kind of, I'm going to use the word safe because we don't know about Christian McCaffrey's health. It always feels like it's one of those things where whenever I draft him in my fantasy league, he tends to get hurt.
Yep.
And whenever I don't, so if you want me to sacrifice it, if you give me 1.01, I'll go ahead and take Bijan and be really happy about it. And I'll let someone else have Christian McCaffrey because I might be the reason whether or not he gets hurt. You know, it might be me drafting him.
Yeah, another Falcons player that there's some debate about high, especially depending on your league settings and all that, or lower. And he's certainly been a lot lower with all these top 100 players lists. Some don't even have him listed, is Drake London. I mean, when you talk about this guy, it just feels like he's still underappreciated. Maybe he doesn't do it the same way that Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson do it, but Drake is just one of the best receivers statistically in the NFL.
Yeah, here's my strategy. Who cares what any of those rankings are? Who cares what? Let's let everyone else draft him very low in fantasy, and I'll go in there and swoop him up. I am more than happy to exploit other people's bad decisions and take my chances with Drake London. I'm a big Drake London fan, not just from, you know, watching what he has already done, but also projecting what he can do going forward. I think with more certainty at the quarterback position, it's just going to be better. And I thought you were going to put me in the fantasy conundrum of like the Kyle Pitts question, which is not one that I love answering because I always get burned on Kyle Pitts too. So I'm going to stay away from him just because of my own demons. But I'm Drake London, and I'm buying lots of shares of it, and hopefully I get to buy it at a discounted rate, because let everyone else be dumb and the rest of us can be smart about taking him.
Yeah, Cynthia, you're not the only one who's been burned about Kyle Pitts. She is with NFL Network, mostly NFL data science guys, breaking down sports data, and she does a terrific job. You can follow her across all social media platforms. All right, while we're talking about this, because guys are gearing up, people are gearing up for their fantasy leagues, tell me about these quarterbacks. Is Lamar number one? I mean, 41 touchdowns, what, 3 picks, whatever it was last year? Is he your number one when you talk about quarterbacks? And then where do you have our guy in Michael Penix, who we saw 3 games of, and Abe and I were talking about, you know, was the sample size enough to give you a feel for what Michael Penix is projected to do?
Yes. Well, let's go in reverse order here. I think that the Michael Penix question is a really interesting one because I am not a believer in drafting quarterbacks high. I don't do it. I'm not even I actually still think it's probably Josh Allen number one. Not that I don't believe in Lamar, not about that. I just think, like, again, it comes down to your schedule, and the Bills this year have a schedule that feels a little bit more favorable to what Josh Allen's going to do, whereas, like, Lamar, he has to split some time. Like, Derrick Henry sometimes takes away some of the things that makes him so valuable. I know James Cook is there. Anyway, so you're debating over two things that are very – the difference between him, those two, is very small, whereas if I'm looking at a later-round quarterback to pick up, Michael Penix could score very easily right in that top tier. I'm getting him in a much later round. So this is strategy alone would dictate that I'm getting a much better value on him, especially if you look at him compared to some of his counterparts. Like, Jaden Daniels will go really high. Got it. Understood. But if I'm looking in those later rounds, I'm pretty happy. I'm just going to, like I said, I'm just not going to talk about it out loud. I'm just going to take him in my league and be happy when I beat you.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. He was actually, I have a two-part question, and he's one part of that. But we saw C.J. Stroud. He kind of went through a little bit of sophomore struggles. How do you think he's going to bounce back? And then as Jaden Daniels enters his second season, if the league is able to adjust, how do you think he fares year two?
Yeah, so C.J. Stroud, the interesting part here is that O-line was not just bad. It was like there was like crazy notes on the interior O-line specifically. That was like the number of sacks, the number of pressures, the amount of the percentage of early downs where he was just under pressure in the middle of the line was abysmal. Like it was right there with like Caleb Williams or anything that was going on in Tennessee. So I think you have to kind of give C.J. Stroud, you have to let's all reset around C.J. Stroud. Hopefully they've addressed some of these O-line issues, but also I think they had a Bobby Slowick issue there. I don't think Bobby Slowick's style matched what C.J. Stroud wanted to do as he evolved past that first season. So I think that will help too. And of course, you know, you get Nico Collins a little healthier for more of the season, all of these things will help. So I think C.J. Stroud, I think he bounces back. Do I think he's bouncing back to the point where, you know, he's winning playoff games? I'm not ready to go there yet, but I do think it's going to be a nice season. Now, as far as Jaden Daniels is concerned, the interesting part for them, again, all of this comes down to O-line play for me. Jaden Daniels, I think he'll have some sort of a slump. I don't think it will be to the extreme that we saw C.J. Stroud because everyone did. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did. All of the best always do because defenses are now creating plans to specifically stop your skill set. And Cliff Kingsbury will figure out a way to get him past that. But we don't know what those defensive coordinators are going to throw his way yet until he can adapt to it. Just like, remember when we saw, you know, the Bengals, Lou Anarumo pulled out.
That's right.
Absolutely not playing single high on Patrick Mahomes. Then Patrick Mahomes, now two safety shells, now he's adjusted. Like, it's a chess match. And I think Jaden Daniels is well suited for that chess match.
And it's a great point. Cynthia Freeland joining us, guys, talking all things NFL, fantasy football. She does a terrific job. I want to ask you just from the standpoint of Patrick Mahomes. Listen, the last time we saw the Chiefs, they got beat up. And I think that viewpoint has some people not believing that, oh, well, you know what, they're not going to be as good. You know, I mean, they couldn't protect Mahomes. That was the one instance where they played the one team that they were going to have problems with, which was the Eagles. They're not playing the Eagles every week. What's your assessment on Mahomes and the Chiefs as we get ready to start camp here in a couple of weeks? And just from a numbers standpoint, does he put up miraculous numbers like he did a few years ago?
I actually think it's straight numbers could be better this season. I mean, last season was a strange, like, one possession, weird games, but I think the numbers could be better. Their schedule is actually harder this season than last season. Just the scheduling gods, that's how it works. But so he could be throwing for more touchdowns. I expect those specific numbers to go up. But I'm not worried about anything to do with this team yet. They're still in their prime. When your biggest problem is figuring out, like, how you can accommodate, you know, that your superstars to the point where you're like, you have some of the highest paid guys in the league and they're still doing it at the highest levels. Like, I have a tiny little violin for all of them. And yeah, okay. That one game happened. We all saw it, understood. It was the biggest stage, but you're telling me Andy Reid can't figure out how to adjust when he has Patrick Mahomes and probably a pretty fired up Travis Kelce and then Rashee Rice coming on. Like, there's Xavier Worthy. Like, there was like all of these things happening at the end there. And I think we see it return to form. Again, it's hard to win games in the NFL, let alone win as many games as they did. So I'm not worried about them yet.
Good stuff. Cynthia, thank you so much. Look forward to visiting with you down the road. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We're all excited about the start of camp and the season getting underway. Cannot wait. Cynthia Freeman, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys. Hopefully I come down there. I haven't been there in a while. So,
come on.
You know, the training camp, I like it. I'm one of those people who I love the humidity. I love the heat. I'm into it.
Yeah, well, look, we'll look forward to seeing you. It's going to be a fun
camp.
Dial
that up for me. Thank
you.
I
got you squared away. Thank you, Cynthia. Take care.
Bye.
All right. And by the way, 24th is our first day of training camp. We will be there. I say we as in this radio station. Nobody covers the Falcons like 92.9 The Game. You're home for Falcon football. We'll be up there every day of camp and bring you the latest. Camp will be open for fans this year. It was not last year. They had construction and stuff. So you get a chance to come up and see Penix and company on those open days of practice. All right, we're coming back. Guy Talks on the way. What happened at Lake Lanier this weekend? Also, I went to the movies and saw a movie that was better than I thought it was going to be. And then I found out something about its star that I didn't even imagine. And you won't believe what happened to me on July 3rd. It's next.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Next. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. My weekend was going to start out just perfect. We did the show July 3rd. We finished. I'm on my way home. I'm chilling. I'm going the speed limit. And you'll never guess what happened. Do you recognize this?
I do not.
Okay. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. So literally, and if you were driving, and you know, people drive our same ways home most days. But if you were on 75, because I was going north, Thursday. No, right? Because the 4th of July was Friday. Is
correct.
That right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Thursday.
Yeah.
And you saw that state trooper pull that vehicle over that was like, why would you pull over right there? Because I was so upset. All of a sudden, this guy pulls me over, and you guys aren't going to believe what he stopped me for. You guys aren't going to believe this.
Broken taillights.
Come on, man. What is this, Eddie Murphy?
You didn't get your sticker for your tag.
No. Tags are up to date.
Below the posted speed limit.
Okay. No, come on.
Your back left tire wasn't inflated enough.
I wish that was the case. Y'all, he stopped me and said that I was on my cell phone, and it was in my hands. I'm said, how the hell would you know if it was in my hands? Literally, I'm not making this up. Now, we know that being on a cell phone in the state of Georgia is against the law, meaning holding it to your ear, right?
Hands-free state.
Hands-free. We know that. I know that. So literally he pulls me over, and I'm like, yes? Because I have no idea. I was going literally below the speed limit. And he says, sir, you were on your cell phone. I said, no, I was actually picking my cell phone up because the thing that hangs in my window, guys, you talk about the perfect timing, dropped. So the thing that's holding my cell phone drops onto my passenger seat, right? And the thing that holds it, the magnet, falls to the floor on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving, not swerving. I'm not moving in and out of lanes. I literally reach over, and at that point, I saw a state trooper next to me, but I didn't think about it. So I pick up the phone. I put it back down on the chair. I'm just minding my own business. I'm driving. He backed up, then slowed down and got behind me. Whoop! And I said to him, I said, sir, officer, are you going to give me a ticket for this? I said, you can see the sticker here on my windshield where my magnet is hanging. Normally, my phone is there. My phone dropped. Yes, I am. You son of a... 4th of July weekend, you guys are just out here giving tickets. You guys are just hitting a... You're hitting a quota. I was so hot.
Starting the month on a strong foot.
Oh, my God. I said, are you serious right now? And then I said, okay, fine. Do your job.
And you didn't, I'll see you in court?
That, oh.
No?
Of course I did. But I didn't say that. Look, he's doing his job. We know what the deal is. But I brought this because I didn't know if you recognized him, because I've never heard of anybody getting one of these when they roll up next to you. All right.
It's the weirdest thing when you get one of those.
The weirdest thing.
Because my wife got one of them.
I got follow-ups here.
And what you do is, like, literally, all she did was go to court and show a receipt, proof of purchase, that she bought a hands-free holder device.
I have one.
So I don't know how
Guess what? Yeah. You're going to have to buy the cheapest one.
And you got to take the receipt to court
to show that you've learned your ways.
That you bought this, and then they let you go.
I have questions. I have questions.
What's the question?
Were you aware there was a trooper next to you at all?
I glanced over. I try not to stare troopers down in my vehicle.
A yes or no answer would be just fine.
Okay. Did I see him?
Are you the officer right now? Hey, what the heck?
It's mock trial here.
In my peripheral, yes, I saw a vehicle with lights.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying attention because I didn't think he
was. But you knew he was there.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was going to speed by me because I was going under the speed limit.
And you picked up the phone with him right next to you.
Because my phone had dropped.
Right next to you. You can't.
And I had no idea. Like, what is this guy? Does he have a camera looking at me? So anyways, I picked the phone up and I put it on the passenger seat.
He was begging you. He probably saw it fall.
He probably did.
He was like, I hope he picks it up.
Look at him.
I got him now.
He was swerving looking at you.
Easiest ticket I'm giving today right here.
Hey, it probably did. Now you got me thinking, because he was behind
me. He's on the radio to his partner. I bet you $10 he picks it up with me right next to him.
He was behind me.
You won't believe this. Carl Deuce just picked up his cell phone right next to
me. And you know what? I didn't even try to hide. I didn't even pull that. I didn't even pull any of that. Oh, I was literally like, dude, you know how bad I want to get home and have a cocktail and get my weekend started right now? You're stopping me for the – like, I am a law-abiding citizen.
Except for the hands-free law.
Check out my record. What do you think I do? Do you think I drive? Oh, look at me. Do you think I drive recklessly? Do you think I drive impaired?
I mean, this is the first thing I'm hearing about your driving right
this
now,
is my
Carlos,
point.
That you're picking up cell phones on the floor. So
I couldn't believe it.
I think, and this might get me canceled, I think your driving test should include.
Don't even go there.
A while using
a cell phone.
And you should get a little sticker. Be like, this guy's a pretty good driver while he's browsing. You know what I mean?
I got to tell y'all. And I got home and literally I told my wife, I said, look, I got to tell you something. She said, what? I said,
Let me see that thing. Let me see it. Let me see the citation.
It's a joke. Hold on.
Yeah, you
it's the worst feeling
that?
In the world.
Hold on. What is his officer's name? Oh, I can't say it.
Don't
Go
say
ahead.
His name.
No, I can't do that.
The worst part about getting a ticket for me is that everybody drives by and looks in and sees you in that car. And they're like, oh, he in trouble. He's in trouble.
Well, that's the thing, too.
And they just making up all kind of stories.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, I wonder what he did to
what
get.
What he did, yeah.
Just driving right. And they just they look right in your car at you. They look right in your window at you. I try to make eye contact. Like, you deviant.
No, oh, I
you
know.
You miscreant.
I know. It's terrible. What are you looking at? You're not going to find any secrets on there.
He's just intently looking at that ticket over right there now.
I just wanted
to
show you.
He's the child of two lawyers. So
I'm looking. You want my brother to handle this for you?
Does he do this kind of thing?
This is the
he's
child
a defense
of,
attorney.
He is the child of two lawyers.
Does he do this kind of thing? Who else is an attorney in your family?
My brother.
And
my mom was a prosecutor.
Oh, okay.
Before she was a judge.
Okay.
And then my dad was a lawyer.
I didn't know dad was. I didn't know what dad was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man. I enjoy your dad.
He's out in New Mexico right now listening.
Is
he's
he really?
Still out there.
Oh,
and I'll tell you what, the cops were out in there too. Now, mm-hmm. they ain't got cell signals, so there's no point in having the cell in the hand because you can't. Nothing's going
it's
on
a
out
brick
there.
Brick device, basically.
I went a whole weekend hand with weight. No service. What are we doing out there, man?
Well,
but I will tell you, and I don't even know if they're hands-free or not.
What's that?
But they were out there, man. They were searching.
In some of those areas, and I think I said this to you before you went out, it's Guy Talk Guys, Dukes and Bill. Abe is in for Mike. Coming up, we got some Falcon stuff to talk about. It's funny because Abe and I were talking about something that we had no intention to talk about today, but we're going to get into it in regards to this quarterback show and Kirk Cousins. Stay tuned. It's on the way in about 10 minutes. I said this to you. Some of those areas out there are like so remote where you were going, like they have signs and helicopters patrolling. Like they don't even have like real patrols. Like every now and then you might get over the top because people just get out there and it's wide open road. We're talking about like West Texas into New Mexico.
Yeah.
It's just wide open.
Now, at least they intelligently for like certain stretches are like, yeah, man, speed limit's 75. Do whatever you want.
Right.
because there'd be some of them stretches where I'm like, why is the speed limit 40?
So did you fly directly into there, or you had to rent a car or something?
Was it I flew from Atlanta to Denver, Denver to Albuquerque. I then rented a car and drove 2 hours north and west to a place with
no signal. No cell phone.
It's 2025, Carl.
I know.
Yeah, we landed on the moon 70 years ago.
Exactly. And I had a device stuck in my window that holds my phone, and it failed. I know.
Well, this is on you.
What do you mean it's on me?
I think
it was a random moment. I am a law-abiding citizen. What do you mean it's on me?
Lack
this
situational
guy literally
awareness,
rolled up and eyeballed me for
your
about
cell
6
phone
minutes.
With a cop right next to you. What's wrong with you?
It was all about a quota. That's all I'm saying.
And what's up with your thing? It just falling off?
I have no idea.
You clean your windshield before you stuck it on?
You want to hear what's funny?
I bet it had fallen off a day before, and you put it right back up.
No, I reenacted this over the weekend because we were out, and I told my wife, I said, this was stuck right here, and I put it on, and she goes,
fell right off.
Yeah, she goes, yes, I've seen it, and it fell off. I said, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened right there. All right.
It'd be funny in that moment, too, if you picked up your cell phone again and whoop, whoop. Another ticket.
That would be
another
awesome.
Ticket right then.
All right. If you've experienced that, God bless you. I've never, honestly, I know it's a law, and I get it.
I have one or two more questions here.
What is this, an interrogation?
I'm fascinated
again,
by this.
Again, the child
I'm
of two
fascinated
lawyers.
By how this
child
could happen.
Of two lawyers.
What are you talking about? He rolled up. He eyeballed me.
You have a big
me?
Car or a small car?
The big car.
Okay. So did the officer have a big car or a small car?
No, he had like one of the regular cruisers with super dark tint and you can't see it.
So how high did you pick up your cell phone for him to see it?
Probably, obviously.
Below the window, sir. What are you doing?
What are you talking about? I wasn't even thinking about that. I was trying to get it
you
so the damn wires
everyone knows
weren't everywhere.
This, because everyone breaks this law.
That's my point. Everybody does.
But everyone else keeps it below the window.
Oh, come on. Now you're telling me the semantics of how high I should have brought the phone up or down.
It's like how many breadcrumbs you want to leave for this guy.
This is way too in-depth now, Abe.
I just said I could not believe, because I've never had, I don't know anybody. You know anybody that's been stopped for this?
Yeah.
Who?
You.
Also, you and you fall into the case with...
If you had asked me Thursday, the answer would have been no.
Of course. But you never have heard anybody getting stopped for this.
I know two people.
Literally on the road, not stopped for another violation.
You
and
know
oh,
why?
By the way, you were on your cell phone. Stopped specifically for picking up a cell phone and putting it in the passenger seat.
My wife and Hugh Douglas.
Hugh got stopped for this?
Hugh got stopped for this.
That
a few
sounds
years
about
back.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. And we told Hugh, too, it was like, Hugh, if you just go to court and show them that you bought a hands-free device, they let you off. He was like, nah, I'm just going to pay it.
That's Hugh. That's
Hugh. Just going to pay it. I don't want to court. I'm just going to pay it.
That's Hugh. All right. I'll let you guys know what happens on this. It's unbelievable. I got
to
ask you guys a serious
right
question.
I'm just picking it right
serious,
up.
Serious question. What's going on at Lake Lanier? July 4th boat explosion.
Yeah, I saw that.
Condolences going out to the folks who got injured. There were multiple injuries. If you didn't see the video, it was like a 23-foot cabin cruiser. It was headed apparently to Margaritaville. Explosion. And I say what happened because Abe and I were having this conversation, and Abe told me, because he has random facts, about some quirky movie that was made years ago. What's the movie called?
It's called Lanier.
And
came out
so
to no one's knowledge 2 years ago.
Angel McCautry, former Dream player.
Yeah.
She was one of the producers of it. And I think she actually stars. She was one of the.
No one stars in it.
The agents. I think.
Just happens.
I'm not even lying. My wifey and I got that movie and we made it through 45 minutes of it and we turned it off.
It was that bad.
It was the worst thing ever.
Well, Abe just gave me the plot and I'm like, well, some of this is based on, you know, real events that happened. But I'm just telling you guys, the crazy thing, and I'm just giving you the numbers, okay, because there were 5 people aboard that boat. Some were taken to the hospital, third-degree burns, terrible situation. Again, condolences going out. You know, we had death up there again. I just feel like when I said this to Abe, and I want you to respond just like you said when I told you this. 216 people have died at the lake between 1994 and 2022, whether it be boating accidents, drownings, explosions, like what happened July 4th. That's what the state data shows. And you said
I think it's more. I think the real number's more. I think it's higher. That's only like 7 or 8 a year.
That's a lot.
You're going back to reporting in the 90s. I don't trust
94.
It.
94. What do you act like TV wasn't invented? What are we talking about? It's 94.
TMZ back then.
Yeah, and then I just, again, and I've been to Lake Lanier. I've been all over the lakes here in Georgia. All right, I enjoy it. Bottom line is this. I will say this. A lot of times, and there were fireworks on one of these boats, right? I believe that was the issue. But I will say this. A lot of times people are overserved. And you're out there, and you're doing things in a boat that you shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden these crazy accidents happen, or people dive in with no damn, you know, vest on, and things happen. And I'm not saying in every situation, but a lot of times this is stuff that just, you know, occurs. And it's happened at this particular lake a lot. So, you know, people go, oh, the lake's haunted, this, that, and the other. And I asked you, do you believe in any of that?
No, I don't believe it's haunted. But I do think there is and this is not just about Lake Lanier. I think there are a lot of different aspects of this where it's just that would never happen to me. And people don't take those precautions that you're talking about to hydrate and understand the sun is beating you down the same way the alcohol is, and just be prepared. There's a lot of that would never happen to me. That won't be me. And people just fall sense of it.
Yeah. We've got a lot of friends at Lake Lanier, people that own property up there. I get it. And, you know, they've been there for years. You always are going to have a few idiots. Unfortunately, it's given the lake somewhat of a bad name. Not just here. This is across the country. I mean, there were national reports about Lake Lanier. And it just so happened it happened July 4th. All right, we're coming back. When we do, we got to talk about something that Abe and I were discussing in regards to our Falcons. With camp just a few weeks away, it's very interesting. Stay right there.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.